Welcome again to another episode of Creatives Chat. And with me today is Peter Lucas, and he's going to be running the show today. So tell me, Peter, who we got lined up?
So we have one of my favorite New York artists, Sandy Whittington, and I know Sandy from her time in Seattle, but she is a big time video and photo producer in New York City now, but she also does photography. She's a retoucher. She does photo editing. She does filmmaking, and she's a jewelry producer and designer. So Sandy, thank you so much for joining us here at Creatives Chat. I think everyone really wants to know, how's the experience for creative expression going down in New York City right now? Because you're in the midst of the biggest lockdown in the country. So dive into that.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's a lot to pick apart. I mean, it's like a really, really strange time. Sorry, those are my roommates in the background. But it's a really strange time because New York is a really competitive market, especially for photographers, just anyone, basically. And pretty much all shoots have been canceled. So like all fashion shoots, all, you know, advertising shoots, any shoot you can think of, any political shoots, like anything that's happening has been canceled. The only thing that people are really doing now is like, if they get an assignment from the New York Times, they'll take it. But even then, a lot of photographers are turning jobs down because it's really unsafe, as this is like ground zero for all that stuff. So it's been crazy. I hadn't been shooting in a while, but I've been taking some photos of people in my neighborhood from the roof. And I know there are other photographers, who are doing things that are similar. Maybe not necessarily from the roof, but I know there's one photographer. I don't know where she's based. I'll have to look it up, but I think she's based in the Midwest somewhere. And she's photographing people through windows. So she's a really famous maternity photographer. And she's actually photographing people, like going up to their living room windows, photographing women with their newborn babies or like pregnancy shots, whatever. And so that's one way people are adapting. It's really weird though, because, you know, this is such a hub for photography, then everything's been shut down. So it's a little weird. I know personally, so I'm a producer, and I was, before all this happened, I was managing 300 shoots for a certain client I work with, and all of them were canceled, like all of them. And so we had to adapt within our own business model, just to like sort of make sure the bills get paid and stuff like that. So clients are now looking for like found footage or, you know, things, I don't know how to explain it. So like found footage, it's called user generated content, as well as they're being asked to go shoot different kinds of video while being protected. But yeah, it's just, it's a very different workflow than what New York was like before. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the hustle and the bustle of the city, I feel like things shutting down completely. It's an entirely big change up for the schedule.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm really just curious, you're in ground zero with the coronavirus right now in New York City. How's your daily routine changed?
It has changed 110%. yeah, I used to, you know, when people ask me about New York, so I've only lived here for four-ish years, almost four. When people ask me, how is New York? What's life like there? Sometimes I'll tell them you get tired even going to work because you have to take the train. It's crowded. It smells really bad. Sometimes it's hot out. All of those aspects of daily life in New York have evaporated. It's just gone. You know, I used to take the train to work every day, or I'd walk an hour to and from work to get some exercise. And you know, you're sitting in an office all day. I personally love the structure of an office environment, because I'm one of those people, I have a slight bit of ADHD. and so I'm constantly like bouncing off the walls. I have all these ideas all the time. And so structure is really good for me. So you have I had the structure built into my everyday routine. I'm really close with my coworkers. And then, you know, I'd, you know, have my specified lunch break for an hour, and then you're done for work with work for the day. You come home, you take the train home, you have the night to yourself. Now, well, first of all, I don't go outside. I haven't ridden the train in 2 months or more, but there's no structure. It feels like time doesn't really exist. and it's like, it's annoying. And at first I loved it because I'm an extroverted introvert. So at first I was like, oh, this is great. I have time to myself. It's awesome. But now I'm like, I need to see my coworkers. I need that structure. My sleep schedule is totally messed up. You know, I've been going to bed at 5 a.m. every morning and sleeping during the day. And that's just how it always happens with me. So I miss the structure. It's completely different in every way. Before, you know, I could walk out of my apartment at 1 a.m., go grab a sandwich from the bodega, and that's it. That's great. But now we don't even order food, really. We're cooking everything, which I'm not used to, which is great. It's great. can't even go out and have that free lifestyle that you kind of is one of the benefits of living in New York. So it's very stressful. Yeah, it's really so stressful.
No, that's really great insight. I think that's one of the things that it does impact everyone differently, especially in terms of like how they tap into like their own flow and how they really uplift themselves in the day. So it's interesting to see the routine aspect play a pivotal role, especially considering I feel like New York is just so go, 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 go all the time.
It is. Something that's helped me out a lot, actually, is the last week or so, I've had a bad sleep schedule. But before that, I was making sure I got in bed at a certain time. I got up at a certain time. I would go to the roof, the off-limits roof, and walk for an hour every day. So that kind of schedule is really good for me. But it's just about sticking to that. And, you know, in these times of crisis, it's just like, I don't know, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you're like, what's the point? This is so stressful. Or I just want to be in bed all day. But it's helped me a lot to not have that kind of thought process as much as possible.
Well, I mean, it's awesome that you can at least get to that out of bounds rooftop area that you're talking about. But because I mean, that's something that I feel like a lot of people don't understand about New York City. Because again, most people in America, you know, we really just stay within America. A lot of people don't even travel outside their state, some without their region. So when you get that experience of suburban to rural, then you have New York City. It's literally night and day. And I don't think people can fathom the fact of, you know, the skyscraper aspect, you're literally living on top of each other. You don't have an outside area. You're just confined to a cement building.
I know. Concrete building. Yeah. It's a, and something else people don't realize is most New Yorkers don't have a car. So for this lockdown, we are locked down. You know, my mom lives in Florida and she's like, yeah, when I feel stressed out, I just go on a long drive. It's like so nice that other people can do that. But here in New York, it's not only is it a completely, it's a complete switch from our everyday routine, but also there's no real way for us to escape. So I think that's where the stress comes from as well.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, where exactly are you at in New York City?
I live in Brooklyn. I live in Bed-Stuy.
Okay.
My neighborhood's so nice, which is wonderful. I've been in the same apartment for 4 years and I know almost all my neighbors and they're just great people. So.
Well, see, that's a brilliant thing. You actually have like a nice community built and established in the area and in the city. Well, I guess that's something that's kind of curious. Do you feel like that's impacted the community aspect of what everyone's doing right now?
Well, I hadn't thought about it like that, but I think I have been surprised with how kind my neighbors have been still. You know, like, even though we're all on lockdown, whenever I see my neighbors, they're like, oh, hey, Sandy, how are you? Instead of like, I mean, they don't come, we don't like talk to each other closely, but we'll wave across the street. How are you? We're good. You know, whereas I think a lot of people think that New Yorkers are cold and I don't know, just kind of detached, but everyone's been really caring. I mean, we're not like hanging out outside together or anything, but you know, everyone's been checking up on each other. And yeah, it's just been a lot friendlier than I expected. So
that's a great message to know, though. I think it's a great message, the awesomeness and humanity shine a little bit.
Yeah, and people, I really don't think people realize how nice New Yorkers actually are. Like, they'll be real with you and they'll tell you if you annoy them or if they don't want to interact with you, but they're actually really, in general, very kind people.
It's just efficiency of time, everyone. Yeah. You know, you got to be straightforward to the point.
Yeah, exactly. No one's trying to be mean, but, you know, it's just get to the point. So in general, New Yorkers don't really have a sense of personal space, but now everyone is so aware of like what's going on, that it's actually kind of awkward. I was in the bodega the other night getting a snack or something, and I had my mask on, but I didn't have gloves on. And this guy was behind me, and I was paying for my snack or whatever it was. And he was like, get away from me, get away from me. Like, if you come near me, I'm going to flip. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll back up. Like, and I think we got there at the same time, but people are just, it's such a change of pace that I think it's really stressing people out.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, I can, again, like if you guys are locked up, like you guys are, and everyone's stacked on top of each other, I can only imagine the kind of cabin fever that's going on. Yeah. But I think that's something that kind of brings up an interesting point. Now, I know there's so many just like artists and really just expressive people in New York. What's mm-hmm. the coolest mask you've seen out and about?
Oh, okay. actually, just today, my neighbor, I saw him out on a walk. I was walking my dog, and he is from... Where is he from? He's from the Ivory Coast, and he had the most beautiful mask made out of, African cloth. I don't remember what it's called, mud cloth. I don't remember, but it was beautiful. It was like all these bright colors. And I was like, hey man, how's it going? Your mask is so cool. And he was like, thank you. So he was proud of himself. I have to say my neighbors is my favorite so far.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's like bright yellow, bright blue with some orange. And I was like, damn.
Well, in terms of the adaptation that you were speaking of, in terms of kind of like the art scene, especially your business right now, you know, just kind of like managing all of these different shoots and content production, how do you feel like this is going to change the art world?
Oh man, in a number of ways. I first of all think a lot of photographers won't be able to afford New York anymore, and I think they'll leave, which means. Yeah, I already know of a number of people that have left and are planning on moving back home or what have you, just because the field of photography in New York or anywhere is already very competitive. But now with this added strain of like, there are no shoots, only a few, and it's to cover coronavirus, COVID. That's a really limiting factor. And New York is a very expensive city, as we all know. So a lot of people are leaving. I worry because I think the population of photographers is going to go down. That means a lot of talented people are going to be moving out of the area. I predict just going to be a little empty and weird. So,
well, that kind of leads me to an interesting point. What is your favorite lockdown activity of creative expression during this time?
I've been reading a lot, actually. I've been crocheting a lot of rugs. I make rugs out of recycled material, and I make these big circular rugs. Yeah, I took a workshop in New York, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months ago, and I learned how to take old clothing, turn it into yarn, and I just make all these rugs.
Upcycling's dope.
Yeah, it's really fun. I have a bunch of rugs I need to get rid of. And I haven't been doing as much earring stuff as I usually do. I make polymer clay earrings, and I was on a huge roll before all this stuff happened, but I've had a really hard time actually being creative while in quarantine. I'm not sure why. When it comes to the earrings, I'm not really sure. I think part of it is that I feel like earrings are great and they're wonderful ways to, I don't know, express yourself, but they don't feel as important to me as like making a rug would be. You know, a rug is very utilitarian. Mm-hmm. You can use it, but the earrings just feel a little bit superfluous, if that's the right word, or just like a little extra, like it's not that important right now. And that's probably just me being critical or hard on myself, but I don't know. I've had a hard time making them for that reason.
But I think that kind of speaks true to your creative drive itself and how you're one of being that if you don't have that passion for it, if you're not attracted to it in that sense, it's just, not going to flow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's a really, really hard thing for me to deal with. It's wonderful because when I'm inspired, I'm like super inspired and I can make amazing work and I can pull 3 all-nighters in a row and it's just wonderful. But if I'm not feeling it, there's no forcing it. I will just make crap. You know what I mean? It's just like so bad. And that's not just artistically, that's like, you know, in many aspects of my life. With my day job, I can obviously, I've trained myself to not let those whims sort of take over. And I, you know, I can focus on something that I'm not the biggest fan of, but for anything creative, it, yeah, it really depends on my mood and how I'm feeling and what's going on in the world. So,
and you see, that's just such an interesting question I have for you, because in terms of you have to have that passion for it, do you feel like anything's changed in your relation to art in terms of your work? Having to kind of do that as a job and sit in front of a screen, or is the same passion still there even for that type of work?
Well, let me put it this way. It has not been there for a long time, until maybe in the last 6 months to a year, I felt much more inclined to shoot on my own. So when I moved to the city, I wanted to be a freelance photographer, but that didn't quite work out for me. And there was sort of that aspect of trying to be a freelancer and not being successful that put a lot of anxiety onto shooting for me. So I, for a long time, didn't want to shoot for fun. I didn't want to do a new project just because I felt that anxiety of needing to pay the bills with it. So that's starting to wear off now, because I haven't been a freelancer for, you know, 3.5 years. But I'm still involved in photography. And, you know, before I was primarily shooting, and now I am sitting behind a computer. I'm doing production. So it's different enough that it doesn't affect me in that way. But in terms of shooting my own projects and actually shooting with a camera, it really affected me for a long time. It was something that I had a really hard time shaking off. And again, it's one of those personality traits I wish I could kind of alter a little bit, because I was feeling discouraged and I was just a little, I felt out of my element and anxious about it. I just couldn't produce work. So it just took time, and understanding and being gentle with myself and telling myself, like, it's okay. You don't need to be a photographer every moment of your life. You can focus creatively on other things. That's what really helped me a lot.
But see, that's the creative adaptation. I think that's so important, especially in the modern world that we live in terms of just how difficult it can be to find something that you can both live off of and fuel your passion. So, I mean, even then though, it's still an awesome experience to see. It's like your path has brought you down this road of growth to really expand not only your like art skills and like the eye and the talent level. And it's just like, you still have that passion, and it's like almost rekindled because it's, you've gone through that healing process that I feel like a lot of people just don't even have that opportunity to get back to. They lose it and then it's gone.
And then it's like, out of here. Yeah. No, I'm very, very lucky. I am. For years, I was really hard on myself, because so much of my sense of identity was tied up in being a photographer, that when that need to create was gone for a little bit, or just much less present, I felt really bad about myself. I was like, who am I? Blah, blah, blah. I did a lot of soul searching. So it sounds really dramatic, but when you have the personality type that I do, where you're just in love with something, addicted to it, and then it fades a little bit, that can be a hard thing to adjust to. So I'm very glad that I was able to support myself with photography, and kind of sharpen those skills while at the same time giving myself room to breathe and rekindle my love for, you know, actually being a photographer.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Very lucky. Very, very lucky.
But don't know. You know, Sandy and I go way back, and one of the things that really always kind of shined a little bit brighter in Sandy compared to other people is just not only like you're kind of like bubbly, like upbeat nature, but you're also that like paradox, because you're such a gentle and kind person, and then you're an incredibly like crack the whip to the books, get it done type of woman, and that's the business cutthroat New York style, I feel like. So that's your kind of natural thing too. Do you think you have to have that, not, I wouldn't want to say aggressiveness, but do you feel like you have to have that little extra chip on your shoulder, that kind of hustle mentality, that entrepreneurship heart to really survive and thrive in New York?
Yes. Especially if you're in the creative field of any sort, you definitely do, because so many creatives are here. Also, if you did what I did and moved here with very little savings and no job, yeah, you definitely have to, you definitely have to be an entrepreneur. But I mean, it's true, you know, like everyone has a love-hate relationship with New York. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. There are a million things to do. There are a million experiences you can have, but it's a really tough city. It's expensive. It's dirty. It's, you know, fast paced. So yeah, you have to be strong-willed. You have to kind of get back up when it knocks you back down. And that is such a cliche. And when I moved to New York, I was like, I'm never going to say, you know, stuff like that, but it's true. It's really true. There are some days I come home from work before quarantine and I'm exhausted. It wasn't even a super busy day. It was just hot out and the train was crowded and work was weird. And you're just like, how the hell am I living here? But it's also amazing. But yes, you do need to have sort of that do-it-yourself kind of attitude. And yeah, you need to be able to pick yourself back up. Yeah. My favorite piece of advice that anyone ever gave me. So when I moved here, there's a good friend of mine who's an amazing photographer. He shoots this amazing conceptual work, and he's just incredible. And he kind of helped me get my start here. He like referred me to jobs. He introduced me to people. And I had told him, you know, I'm a little nervous about living here. And he was like, Sandy, you know what? You're going to be fine. As long as you're nice and you work hard, you'll be fine. So, you know, you just got to work hard, be a good person, and you'll be good. So
see, that's such a good mantra for life, though. Just work hard. Don't be a jerk to other people.
Exactly. Just be a nice, good person.
Let's take a pause for the cause and thank our sponsor for making this show happen. Thank you. We are Historically, and we're back with Sandy Whittington. Those, by the way, those are looking like some beautiful earrings right there. Are those some of your own creations?
Yeah. So these are actually, these are my earrings. They're made out of polymer clay. I make them in my apartment, bake them in my oven, and every single pair is unique. This kind of goes back to my weird personality quirk. I cannot make the same thing twice. And if I do, I get very bored. Every single earring is unique, and that's part of what sells them. I have an Instagram that I'd love for anyone to check out. My company is called Freckle-Faced Dirt, so it's shop_freckle-faced dirt. And in the bio there it says, you know, every single piece is unique, and that's true. Everyone is different. I tend to go for like very bright colors, just sort of whatever I'm feeling. I channel my moods, my experiences, what's happening around me at the time to make each piece unique. This one in particular, this is white clay, as you can see, and that's real copper that's inlaid into them. So yeah, they're super lightweight. They don't pull on my ears. And yeah, they're really fun to make. I need to get back into making them. I need to be doing something with my hands. So hopefully I'll start up again soon.
Well, I mean, I'm sure selling them, because they're usually selling them at the markets.
Yeah, I sell them at markets. I've also had a lot of, I've had a lot of good luck selling them on Instagram. So like I'll post an Instagram story or an Instagram photo and, you know, it says, this is the price, DM to purchase. I've gotten had a lot of success that way. Etsy, not so much. I was selling on Etsy for a while and I stopped because it was just pretty awful. The market is too saturated. So, But the markets are where it's at.
Yeah, the markets are where it says. You get the personal front. You get to show them off in the face.
Exactly. You get to talk to me. My fun personality. I'm just kidding.
Well, do you find that the kind of experience of being in New York is one of your biggest passions? Of just kind of like going out, living, and just experiencing the city? And yeah, do you have any type of like hindrance with that, with the lockdown and kind of that creative flow?
Yes. I think I said this earlier, I'm kind of an extroverted introvert. So I really, to sort of recharge, I need to be alone. I need to be like, you know, just in a quiet space sometimes, you know, in my bed, take a nap. I love naps. But so in the past, before the quarantine happened, there were times when my friends would go out and I'd be like, no, it's okay. You know, I'm just going to recharge at home. Now I'm really regretting that I ever did that because I miss just being able to go out to K-Town. I used to go to K-Town with my roommates. We'd, you know, eat tons of Korean food, so much Korean food, drink some soju, and then do karaoke. That's something on a Friday night, just at 11 at night, you can text your roommates and be like, hey, let's go. You know, it's so easy to do here. And I miss that. I also love taking walks. I'm a big walker. And I can't do that right now, just because things are so bad out there. So, yeah, it's completely changed how I operate. Even though I'm not the kind of person who goes out all the time, I still feel it enough that it's very frustrating.
Just the experience of just being has really just kind of dialed down in terms of what you can experience and everything.
Exactly. Yeah, like I ordered my burrito earlier, and I haven't been ordering like much at all, maybe once every 2 weeks, and it was such a treat for me. I was like, oh my gosh. But you know, when you're living in New York normally, you can just be on a walk and find a great restaurant or a bodega, or you know, there are so many options, but now there's not much. So
yeah, well, I'm a big person that's a believer in a sense, like everything that happens in life, it's not necessarily quote unquote for a reason, because I believe firmly that we are the ones that determine the kind of story of the picture that we get in life. And in that very sense, do you find that this has been, I mean, it sounds like it's been a challenging time, just how New York is and how the float goes. Do you see this as that opportunity you've really conquered to dive deep and really like build yourself up out of?
Yes.
I like to get deep.
I like when you ask those questions. I'd say yes, but also there's a flip side to that. So yes, because I've had to really examine myself. Like I know I have a phone addiction. I'm addicted to my phone. So I, you know, I'm a producer, I'm a photographer, I make earrings. I have a few Instagram accounts that sort of keep all of those businesses afloat for me. But kind of because I've had to keep those up, I know that that's what's, you know, created this like addiction of me being addicted to my phone. So I find myself when I don't have stimulus or like things to pay attention to at the office, or I'm not out having fun with my friends, I'm just sitting at home, I'm constantly reaching for my phone. So that's been something I've gotten better at, because now I'm aware of it. And I don't like that. I don't like being that person. I never thought of myself that way. So that's an example of one thing that was brought to my attention. On the flip side though, it's been really good for me to tell myself, just relax, just live your life, take a nap, read a book, you know.
It's okay just to be.
Exactly, just to exist. Because as you can tell, you know, I'm an earrings, I'm a producer, I'm a retoucher, I'm a photographer. I never really stop. I never stop moving. And even if I'm sitting down, I'm like going a million miles up here. So in one sense, yes, this time has been good for me to learn about myself and sort of address some of these issues that I don't want to carry anymore. But also it's been good to teach myself, you can just relax, just exist, have fun, you know, rest. So
such an important lesson to learn.
Yeah, it's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Well, I think that's kind of the double-edged sword of being in New York City, because you have all this access to the amazing art, just you're the first on the scene and so much of culture that's going on globally. But because it does accommodate for everything, you have that instant gratification, kind of honestly, like that path of least resistance ingrained in the culture there. So it's really interesting that you said that, like, because you have to be on your electronics for your work, that it's literally developed into its own little issue. Like, but hey, I mean, that's something that I think is going to be one of the kind of most intense things for people right now, I'm assuming, in New York, is the fact that it's ripping off the Band-Aid super hard.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, what's the favorite, like, let's just get a random question in. What has been your favorite thing to cook while in quarantine?
Ooh, I like this question. So before quarantine started, I couldn't cook. I'm one of those people who I think I told you this. I've told you this before, but I'm one of those people who I just open a can of beans and just eat beans, you know, it's like, which isn't healthy. It doesn't taste that great by itself. But my roommate has been teaching me a lot of great recipes. I have to say my favorite is, Lucy, stop licking my foot. My favorite is lotus root. So it's, what do we put in it? We put soy sauce and honey and ginger, I think. Cook it on really, really high heat.
What's the texture of lotus root?
Oh, it's so good. It's crunchy like an apple. And it's like, it's a circle shape with a bunch of holes in it. I forgot what the fear of holes is, but if you have a fear of that, you should not eat lotus root. It's it's so good. And it just tastes like whatever you are cooking it in. And it's really healthy for you, has a lot of good, you know, vitamins and minerals. And it's pretty affordable actually. So it's, that's been my favorite thing to learn. I actually have some in my fridge. I might make it tomorrow.
Oh man, that's so cool though. I think that's something that a lot of people, at least you're capitalizing on this opportunity. I think that's one of the things that I'm encouraging, inspires me, is that you've taken this time to question all those things that are coming up internally. You're trying new things, you're learning new skills. Like, that's super awesome. It's a very empowering thing.
It is. It's empowering. I often catch myself being like, oh, Sandy, you're not doing enough. But again, going back to that idea of it's okay to rest. You don't need to learn every single thing you've ever wanted to learn while we're in quarantine. Just learn a few things and, you know, really relish that and learn it well. That's been good for me. So yeah, learning to cook is a definite adult life skill that I'm glad I have had the time to learn about.
That's so cool. But again, yeah. I think what you just said naturally just kind of expresses the situation right now, is that we're all in this hustle and bustle of life. We're in this kind of contracted, tense state of always doing stuff in action. Yeah. And this is a time where we can really tap back into that other aspect of like the duality that is life. And it is that relaxation, that calm, yeah, that being. It's okay just to be as you are. You don't need to always be doing stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
So do you feel like that's something though that's changed because you've been in New York? That's like that, or do you feel like that's why you, or why you're at New York right now, is because you've always had that kind of flow and go?
Dang, that's a good question.
This is deep. This is that introspection I want.
That's a good one. So
chicken or the egg.
So I think I am here in New York and I've, you know, been able to survive because I am that way. My brain is like a beehive. It's like always buzzing. There's always stuff going on, which is both good and bad. It's kind of twofold. It was heightened because I felt I needed to prove myself to my family, my friends, myself, but also I'm that way naturally, which is why I was able to survive here.
Yeah, because you've always had that kind of resilience and strength that that's always caught my eye in a sense of just like, okay, that's a person I want to get to know and experience. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the creative mind, is that each one of us operates so differently, yet we tap into so much beauty and we're able to articulate the experiences we have through our own unique lens. And just to be able to get it out there with you, with the spice that you got, like, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that I'm curious about, would be your outlets of expression. I know we tapped onto it earlier, but I'm curious about the rugs. Have you found that to be your newest addition to the arsenal of just skills outlets?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I mean, I touched on this, and if I didn't say it directly, I get a little obsessive about creative projects. So when I first started making rugs, I would make one rug in like 24 hours. I would just create constantly, because it's, you know, you work with your hands. It's just, you can kind of zone out, have fun, just sit there and relax. Now I'm not quite as obsessed, but I would say definitely that it is probably my most creative endeavor that I am taking part in right now.
That's so cool.
Consistently.
I love that, though, the obsessive aspect to anything. Well, I think that's such a beautiful thing about the flow of life and like your ability to dive deep in that creative water is that you lose sense of time. You lose sense of self. You lose, because I'm very similar in that sense. Like, right. I start a project, I'm like, no, I'm content doing it until I'm done with it.
Right, exactly.
Meals go by. Hey, I had this meeting. Oh, that went by. This went by. And I'll throw it in on the one task. So I relate to that.
Yeah.
It is the double-edged sword, though, because it's being able to channel that flow and keep yourself on task. But you're a project manager. You're good at that.
But that took a lot of learning for me. So, like, my job is all about organization and time management and all that stuff. It's funny because when I told my mom I was a producer, she laughed at me because I'm typically not – I'm an organized person, but when you're a producer, the kind of organization you have to have is so specific and so I don't know the right word, but it's like herding cats when you're a producer and you have hundreds of cats. And so that was something that I really had to learn to do. And it was about focus, because I knew I had it internally. I knew I was smart enough. My brain was structured enough that I could have that kind of focus and, you know, detail-oriented type of mentality. But it really was about me trusting myself and learning to focus on it instead of just being like, well, you know, like the artist inside of me that's always like, you know, tempted by a new passion project or getting distracted by a new cool experience. This job has been the best thing for that, to kind of, you know,
so it's made you stronger.
Exactly.
I love it. And on the flex note, I have one final question for you, Sandy.
Okay.
If you had to choose any place to walk Lucy, where would it be?
In the world?
In the world, anywhere, any time period.
Okay, so I really, really want to go to Peru. Okay, so my roommate loves alpacas. And so we have this idea for a trip where we'll go to the Rainbow Mountain. You've seen it, right? Yeah. So I want to go there, and she wants to go pet the alpacas, and I'll take pictures of her with the alpacas, and I'll walk up the Rainbow Mountain with Lucy. That is my dream.
I love it. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for joining us here at Creative Chat.
Have a great night, guys. Bye.
What an amazing interview. You know, I think that's worth every minute. How often, like under normal situations, we wouldn't be having this kind of conversation. And this just gave us an opportunity to connect with somebody on a totally different level.
Yes, that's how I feel about it, especially considering it's the creative mind in a city that's completely locked down, confined to studio apartment sized spaces. I think it's an incredibly inspiring, honestly, story to hear from her, just because how many people get the chance to relate on that level, that people get, I don't know, caught up in their own mind during these times, that you kind of have to bring your fire out of discipline of really trying to get back onto a routine. You know, I think it's just one of those things where it's always nice to show people go through journeys of adversity, you know,
and be able to share that journey. So who have we got scheduled for next week?
So next week we have Tane Jr., who is an awesome producer, musician, singer, writer. He does it all. And honestly, he literally does it all when you think of creative. So I'm incredibly excited to have Tane on the show. And again, explore the creative mind that each person can really tap into.
So thank you, everybody, for watching this episode of Creative Chat. Join us next week as Peter interviews Tane. In the meantime, have a happy always.